Daytime streaming is up, connected TV viewing is way up, and Sling TV is stepping up. To find out more, listen up.
Of the Video News End Screen Media Podcast. This is Will Richmond from Video News, and Colin Dixon from End Screen Media is with me, and we are continuing to stay at home during this scary virus time, right, Colin? How are you holding up?
I'm holding up well. I hope you're doing the same, Will.
Yeah, holding up and hoping for better news soon. Certainly all watching how this is unfolding, and hopefully things will get better soon and we'll get back to some sense of semi-normalcy.
Yeah, I certainly hope so. And well, looks like we're going to be hunkered down for a few more weeks here, Will, but our industry continues to march on, and actually it looks like people are really turning to streaming in a big way while they're shut up at home. I know I am. And I'm sure you are too. And I think we're gonna touch on some really interesting data that's just come out this week. A couple of really interesting pieces of data this week that I think really reveals the extent to which we've changed. And we were going to start off with some Conviva data. You wrote about it. I looked at it in quite a lot of detail, and there was some really really interesting trends there, which I came as a big surprise to me. So tell us about that Conviva data, Will.
Yeah, I think there were really two big headlines out of the Conviva data. The first is that the prime time window is moving to earlier in the day. So whereas, of course, the hours from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. have always been prime time, and actually they continue to be prime time, not to get anybody confused. The amount of viewership that is moving into the daytime hours is pretty notable, according to the data that Conviva has collected. So what they've found is that there are increases in viewing time being recorded by them starting in the sort of 9 a.m., 10 a.m. window, going all the way through to around 4 or 5 p.m. And the range of increases is 33% to 43%. In fact, the 43% increase was achieved at 11 a.m. So pretty significant. The graphic that they put together sort of says it all. It's all green, heavily green increases there throughout the middle of the day. The traditional primetime window, 8 to 11, has stayed mostly flat, a little bit up, a little down during those 3 hours. The net impact of this changing viewer behavior is that the, total percentage of day viewing, the 7 hour day part in the March 17th to 23rd window is now 32.3% of total viewing per day. That's up from 27.1% in a 2 week prior period, March 11th to March 9th. I'm sorry, March 3rd to March 9th. So that's sort of headline number one out of the Conviva data, is that we're seeing much heavier viewing up in the earlier day. And certainly I think that has implications for advertisers and also for content providers. Understanding that they have now a huge opportunity during the day to be able to reach their audiences with their messages. It's not just limited to the evening primetime hours. So that's one big thing. The other big thing, headline that came out of Conviva, was that total streaming is up 21% globally in the March 17th to 23rd week versus 2 weeks earlier. But the range of increases is all over the board. In fact, there's actually a decrease in Asia, down 10%, but Africa was number one, the Africa region up almost 33%. The Americas were up 26.6%, Oceania up 26.4%. And Europe basically flat, just up 2.2%. So what we're seeing in terms of streaming consumption really does seem to vary pretty significantly by region of the world. And also how people are getting their news was maybe a third piece that Conviva mentioned that was also noteworthy. Local news outlets seem to really be benefiting from what's happening with virus coverage. So Conviva noted a 247% jump in social news on Facebook for local news outlets. And also across Twitter, it noted big increases in engagement per video, engagement rate, and engagements per post for local news outlets as compared with other social platforms. So those were the headlines out of Conviva. And again, I think underscored just how much change is happening due to the stay-at-home guidelines that we're all dealing with.
Yeah, and that's really confirmed by my conversations, Will, I've spoken with senior executives from Pluto TV, from Sling TV, and we'll get to Sling in a moment, and also from Curiosity Stream. And I'm hearing across the board very, very large growth in viewership and in viewers, by the way, particularly in the case of Pluto TV. And what Jeff Schultz, who's the chief business officer over at Pluto, told me was that they've seen a 100% increase in viewership of the news channels that they provide over the last 3 weeks. So very clearly a place that people are coming to keep up to date, to know what's going on. But interestingly, I found this kind of amusing that they're really seeing a big increase in the use of their binge watch channels. So I don't know if you know the way Pluto works, but they can spin up a channel around a show, and they've done that. So that he said that they're seeing really high viewership on their Baywatch channel, on their Leverage channel, Unsolved Mysteries, even things like This Old House and the Antiques Roadshow channels. He says that these are channels that people come to and just put on. And looking at the Conviva data, this really meshes very well with what Jeff told me, which is that people are just putting these things on, and it's like comfort food. They just have it on all day, and they're just watching all day. Actually, that reminds me of something that the Warren Schlichting from Sling told me, who we'll get to in a second. He told me that they have Sling has this timer, which after 4 hours, if it doesn't detect any activity, it pops up this screen that says, hey, are you still watching? And then if nobody responds, it stops streaming, right? He said that they've had a lot of people calling in complaining about this thing. And so many, he thought it was just, you know, unusual, you know, a few people, but it was so many that they just went in and they've changed that timer now so that it doesn't come up until 8 hours as it has elapsed. So that really tells you that people are just putting things on and they're just watching. They're just letting it run.
Yeah, and that accounts for the increase in traffic that companies like Comcast are reporting, which I think they said that they're up like 32% their traffic or something like that. So to your point, people are just streaming and letting it run.
They are. And, you know, that also speaks to something that I think the other thing that's being borne out by the data is that connected TV is really becoming a focus. And I actually think that the situation that we're in right now is really going to be a point that we all look back at and say, yeah, that was where connected TV really became mainstream in the US. And Nielsen put out some data, and they were really looking primarily at connected TV viewing. Yeah, so what Nielsen found was that streaming minutes to connected TV for the first 3 weeks of March increased 85% to 400 billion minutes over the comparable period, 3-week period in 2019. Now, of course, what's wrapped in here is there's the organic increase that's going on, and we know that connected TV is growing pretty strongly. So to get an idea of what that was, I compared Nielsen numbers for Q3 2018 and Q3 2019, and there was a 31% increase in minutes watched on a daily basis through that period. But what that means is that there's still a 50% increase unaccounted for. So that's a big increase. And Nielsen actually did do a comparison week over week between the second and third weeks of March and saw a 22% increase during that period. And I think that's the period when the whole of California went in lockdown, and New York, of course, is in lockdown. A lot of places went into lockdown during that period. But the really interesting thing out of this data is how well Netflix appears to be doing. According to Nielsen's numbers, Will, 29% of minutes viewed in the third week of March were streamed by Netflix versus 20% for YouTube. And Hulu, which is, of course, one of the other most popular SVOD services, only accounted for 10%, and Amazon Prime 9%. And Netflix is so dominating at the moment that of the top 10 shows streamed by SVOD services by minutes delivered or minutes viewed, Netflix basically owns 9 of the top 10. Number one was Spencer Confidential. And number two was The Office, which is still on Netflix and goes away. And you have to go all the way down to number 8 to get to the Trials of Gabriel Fernandez. Oh, sorry, no, that's on Netflix. Number 7, Hunters, for Amazon Prime Video. Otherwise, it's basically wall-to-wall Netflix stuff. And it seems to be a mix also of TV shows and new Netflix originals. So we were both, I know you and I were both expecting Netflix to have a pretty poor Q1. Maybe we should revise our opinion, Will.
Yeah, I've revised my opinion now for a while. I think the virus completely scrambled the picture for Netflix's Q1 performance. We've talked about this many times on the podcast, but I think there was at least a 50-50 chance Netflix was going to lose subscribers in the U.S. and Canada region in Q1. And I think that the virus, the impact of viewing, what you're just explaining, is probably going to be enough to tip them back into positive territory in the U.S. and Canada in Q1, partially because of subscribers that are hanging in there longer, those that are reducing churn, in other words, and probably a little bit of an uptick on subscriber acquisition that wasn't necessarily anticipated as well. So between those two, and certainly you pointing out the data on how popular the shows are, I think between those two, they probably tip back into positive growth in Q1 in the domestic region. And that's certainly great news for them, right?
I think so. And you know, to be honest, they're one of the few places where we can guarantee to get something new. And you know, I think Ted Sarandos has basically said that they're good to go for at least the next couple of months with plenty of new content. And I can tell you they're continuing to deliver quite a lot of new content into there. So no, I've earmarked Spencer Confidential for some weekend viewing. I don't know what that is, but if everybody's watching it, I want to know what's going on.
Well, I thought the most popular show on Netflix was now this Tiger Kings, this kind of offbeat docudrama, docuseries about the people who are watching big cats or something. I don't know. That's what I feel like I've heard about most. Have you?
No, I've certainly heard about it, and that's on the list too. But continue. I don't know about you, but this is a great time to catch up with a lot of those shows that I have just missed. And there's been so many things that I've just missed that it's a great time to catch up on their shows.
Yeah.
But you know, the other thing was I had a great conversation with Warren Schlichting, who is Group Vice President at Sling TV this week, and it was just. You know, I wanted to talk to him because one of the things that Sling's really stepped up to do, they're doing a thing called Stain and Sling, which is very specifically targeted at giving people who, like, you know, like most people in the US right now who are shut up inside, giving them plenty of good free content that they can watch. Sling's been in the free TV business since mid-2008. So when they launched with 100 hours of popular TV shows and movies, and they've basically been piling in stuff since then. But what they've really done here is they've gone back now to some of their providers, and in some cases they've had people reach out. And they're now adding a whole bunch of stuff. So they had an announcement that they launched this Stain and Sling with, 2 weeks ago with ABC News Live and a whole bunch of on-demand kids content, lifestyle, and entertainment. And they also, the day after they announced ABC Live, ABC News Live, Fox stepped up. Fox reached out to Sling and said, okay, let's make Fox News available for free. They've added a bunch of 18 markets for Fox affiliates. Then Sling made Sling Blue, which is their $30 a month tier available for free to anyone through April 5th. And I have to see if they extend that. Now we're all stuck inside. And they've also had partners step in. So Zone TV, who we've talked about before on the podcast, Zone TV constructs linear channels out of over-the-top content, and they also have this thing called Play Kids. Play Kids was scheduled to come in as a premium on Sling, and I talked to Jeff Weber, and Jeff said that they're making Play Kids available for free as part of this Stay in and Sling program. And Revolt, which is a music-focused, hip-hop music-focused channel from Sean Diddy Combs, that's also available as part of Stain and Sling. That will revert to a premium afterwards, after things are going. And I guess the one thing I wanted to highlight here is I talked a lot with Warren, and it's a mystery to me, Will, why other virtual MVPDs and other SVOD providers aren't providing more free content. It seems to me that it's just like a win-win from everybody, and Warren totally agreed with me. He says that they're leaning into this. He said there is clearly a demand for free offering. It's a great chance for us to touch more people, create more relationships, and make money at the same time. And he's there going to continue to increase the amount of free content. And really, to me, it's just a mystery why more people aren't doing this well.
It does seem like a win-win, Colin. I completely agree. We've certainly talked in the past about the idea of using free as an on-ramp, and it does seem like a smart strategy, not only for the virtual MVPDs, but also even for the SVOD providers. They certainly offer a 7-day free trial sort of thing, but to always have a layer of free content, I think would be really compelling for them. In fact, in a few days here, we're going to have the launch of Quibi, and now they've gone to a policy, I think, of a 90-day free trial, but then it's going to be paid after that. And I think what would benefit them tremendously, in line with what you're saying, is the idea of having some tier of free content that would keep people engaged with the brand. And once you've got people there, then you have promotional and marketing opportunities, and it better to give it away for free and keep them engaged and monetized through advertising than to not have any relationship at all. So I agree with you. I think the Sling strategy is smart, and it is surprising that we have not seen more of that from the other virtual MVPDs.
Yeah. In fact, funnily enough, gosh, I think it must be almost 10 years ago now, Will. I did a report when I was a partner at TDG, and we looked at how a television channel, a smaller television channel, could transfer their business and make the same amount of money with an entirely online footprint. And one of the things I always assumed was that they would have a set of free content, and that basically they would have people buy into a premium service where maybe they lost the ads and they got bonus content. And it looked to me like they could build a business that way pretty easily, based on the viewership that they had right now. They could build a business that would generate as much revenue, but the revenue would come from advertising and from subscription. So I don't know, maybe this is the beginning of that world where people realize that they can and should have a free aspect to their service. So I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah. Well, I think that's all we have for this week, Colin. So lots of different cross currents going on right now, changes in viewership and the consequences that come from that. So we're going to keep an eye. A lot of companies are contributing some great research and data these days, trying to help, hopefully helping everybody understand a little bit better what's happening in the market and how they can make better decisions.
Yeah, and the thing that I find particularly warming here, Will, is that a lot of companies are stepping up and doing stuff like Sling TV. You know, Sling announced that they're going to be, in fact, I just got this email today, that they're going to be donating the profits from all of their pay-per-view purchases to a fund called Good 360, a global nonprofit leader dedicated to delivering critical supplies to both healthcare providers and those quarantined. So, hey, they're the only ones that I've heard doing this. So if you want to rent a movie, if there's a movie you want to rent, I urge you to go to Sling. They've got a bunch of free content for you to watch. And if you rent the movie from them, they'll be donating the profits to a good cause to help everybody at this time. So that's all to the good. I hope more companies step up and do that.
Yep, doing well by doing good. All right, Colin, well, listen, stay well out there. And to all of our listeners, stay well, stay healthy, and we will catch you again next week on the Video News and Screen Media Podcast. And thanks for listening.